Aloha from Hawaii. Today we're going to take you on a spiritual surf safari. You know, 13 billion years ago in that Let There Be Light ontological moment, God created the universe. And there was light, light waves, sound waves, radio waves, all kinds of waves. And surfers, we ride them. One of the first things God made was angels, spiritual beings. And then he made the universe, and then he made the earth, and then he made life come forth, and then he made the crowning achievement, he made man. And he breathed into man a spiritual soul so that he could commune with God. Spirit and soul have the words air and wind in them, and surfers know you don't get to have waves unless there's wind causing that surf. God breathed into man. You know, in Hawaii, the word for love is aloha. Ha means breath. And aloha means to give breath. And that's what God did. He aloha'd Adam. And Jesus, too, in the New Testament, he said, my peace I give you, my peace I leave with you. And he breathed his Holy Spirit. He aloha'd his Holy Spirit on his disciples. You see, man, the early church father said we were amphibians because we're spirit and body. We're heaven and earth combined. And surfers are amphibians, too. You know, we live on the aina, the land, but we long to be in the sea. And so I'm going to take you on a spiritual safari to different surf spots. The first one is called the soul's upward yearning. And then we're going to go to one of the first lessons you learn in your spiritual life is detachment. And then we learn this really gnarly place called purgation. And then on to waiting on the Lord. And then learning the unitive way. And then we're going to take you to my favorite place, nuptial union. So the first thing, the soul has this upward yearning. You know, I go to sleep listening to the sound of surf, and the first thing, I'm checking out the surf when I wake up. And you know, soul surfers, Christians are like that too. You know, the first thing you do is you get up, you dawn patrol, open your Bible, pray the liturgy, the hours, and you check out kind of the order of your day based on that prayer time. But we have this upward yearning. God has created us with a desire for justice, for truth, for beauty, for love. And we have this, you know, I surf this place called Populars. It's an outside break in front of my house. And at sunset, when the waves hollow, you can see the sun glowing orange through the face of the wave. And when it breaks, the foam is like hot orange lava. And I see the tiki lights being lit, and I'm surfing, and I see the chatter of the wave at Pops, and then I see Diamond Head in the distance. And I never feel closer to home than there. But there's this feeling in me that I'm really not home. You know, it's like an ET phone home kind of moment, because I know my real home is in heaven. And that's that spiritual yearning we all have too, is that sense of going home. The next surf break I'm going to take you to is a place called Detachment. Surfers, the first thing we do is get down to the beach, turn our back on the aina, all the busy of the land. And we look out at just the wonder of the ocean. We just like, our eyes just go out to the ocean. We just love the ocean. We can hardly wait to get out. But we have this ability to just forget about all our worries and cares and paddle out. And in your spiritual life, you need to learn to become self-forgetful, to see the wonder of God and forget about how the world presses in on you and all your, you know, personal agendas and all your worries and cares. Let that go away and just look at the wonder of God. The next spot, this is the gnarly place. Place called Purgation. On the north shore of Oahu, when all the other surf spots are closed out, when it's 24 foot plus, there's a place called Waimea that we surf. Waimea means, by the way, red water. So purgation, it's a good symbol for that, the blood and water that flowed from Christ's side and brought us that healing forgiveness. But you wait for just the right moment. You have your board. You've got your ankle leash on your hand, and you run and you leap on the board and you paddle as hard as you can to get out past that shore break. And it can take you a minute. It can take you 20 minutes. But you just don't stop. You fight and fight and fight, and all the time trying not to drift into the rocks or into other danger areas and get out to the riptide so the riptide can take you out to where the lineup is. And when you get outside, guess what? It feels so great. You know, your blood has been flowing. You're so happy to still be alive. And then you see your group of friends out at the reef where they're surfing. And this is what always happens. You show up and someone always says, "You really missed it. Should have been here yesterday." So you wait, you're there with your friends, and but still they might drift. You have to always be aware where you are and where the reef is so you don't drift off the surf zone. And that's the way it is with soul surfers too, with Christians. You know, we have to leave behind and paddle out and leave behind the sinfulness in our life. We have to leave behind our sinful patterns. Sometimes people we have to leave behind, and sometimes places. You know, the church teaches us to avoid the near occasion of sin, and we have to battle to break free from that. Of course, Christ's mercy helps us with that. And then when we get out past that break, it gives us just a whole new perspective on life. And we have but we have to continue to be careful not to drift back into old patterns of sin. And so that's a gnarly surf break. You know, we have to go through that season of purgation. But like all these surf breaks, you revisit them again and again in your life. The next place I want to take you to is this time of surfers face called waiting. When you get out, you could be really great surfing. You paddle out. That happened to me just the other day. And all of a sudden, where'd the surf go? It just kind of fades. And you wait and you look. And my mother used to say we look like sentries looking out to sea. And sometimes the waiting becomes hours and days and weeks. And it's very confusing because surfers are like, who am I again? What do I do? You're not really sure. You know, and we will get surf detergent and tide detergent and mix it together and pour it in the ocean, hoping it'll make some surf, you know. And when we're really desperate, we fast, like all good Christians do, from Spam, which is our favorite Hawaiian delicacy. And we just hope and we wait for surf. But we know it's God's kuleana to send the waves. We don't have that responsibility. That's His kuleana. And we can't surf without waves. We can't make them. And that's the same way in our spiritual journey. You know, we have to learn to wait on the Lord. There's times when you're with the Lord and it's just like, oh, you just feel His presence and everything just is so good. You read the Bible and scripture verses just bounce out at you. And then there comes that time, a great, great, important time when you don't sense God's presence. And you wonder what you did wrong, and then you wonder what He's doing wrong, and you just can't figure out, well, why don't I feel You, God? And that's that time of waiting. You know, that's the Lord showing you that He really trusts in you. He trusts in you enough to pull away from you like a rubber band so you kind of are drawn deeper and deeper into union with Him. In that spiritual mystery of waiting, in Hawaii, even on a really cloudy day, people get sunburns. And so I had this incredible insight once that even when you're in prayer and you don't sense God's presence, you're still getting a suntan, a spiritual suntan. And then I thought, and then I was reading Augustine and I realized he had plagiarized me. He stole that from me. Yeah. You never have an original thought as a Catholic because everyone's already thought of it once before. And then that's that beautiful time of waiting. And then the wave comes and it's corduroy to the horizon and you paddle out and you get to surf. You know, you get the phone call on the Coconut Telegraph, dude, it's up. And so you paddle out and your friends are there and you're sharing waves and splitting peaks. And then someone yells, outside. And oh, the cleanup set is coming. And you paddle for the horizon and over wave after wave, your friend takes this one, another one takes this one, and then it's your turn. And you got to paddle with all your might to catch a wave, a decent sized wave. You got to really want to. And once you drop in, you're abandoned to that wave. You don't get to kick out. You're locked in. And if you're fortunate enough, if the wave is fast enough, as you drop in, you make a bottom turn. You know, you don't go straight ahead. You want to surf along the face of that wave. And you dip your hand into the wave to just caress it. It's so beautiful. And sometimes you really put it in deep so that it'll stall your board because you can see the wave is starting to hollow over. And you want the chandelier over the top of you. And when you're inside the tube, you can see the opening of the tube in front of you. But you're going at such tremendous speed, but it doesn't feel like you're moving because it's just right there. It never moves. And you have this point, which surfers call the still point. You're not moving, you're just there. And you know what else? No one sees you in the tube. The greatest score you can get from the judges is we don't see him. And then he comes out. You're hidden in that tube. Only God sees you inside that tube. And that's the way it is with in our spiritual life too. You know, we want to totally abandon ourselves to God and flow with the power of the Spirit. And also we want to be in his will, which is the same thing as to say his love. We want to be that moment of caressing God's face and just going with the Lord. And then we come to that still point, that moment, like, you know, God's name is I Am Who Am. He lives in the eternal now. Of course, the greatest moment like that of the still point is that cosmic place called the cross that we get to when we receive the Eucharist. And so we're at that still point. We're not thinking about the past. We're not thinking about the future. We're just loving God back. And, you know, there's that sense of just total at-one-ment. You know, the word atonement is what gives us at-one-ment, and you just feel like you're one with the Lord. But you want me to tell you about my favorite place to go? I get nuptial union. I get to talk to you about my wife. So I met my wife, Cindy, on an Easter Sunday morning after we had surfed, after we'd had Ocean Sunrise Mass at the beach, and then we were giving a surf exhibition. And I didn't know this, but for 8 years, she used to come down and watch us whenever we would come to Cocoa Beach and tandem surf and do exhibitions. And she loved it, but she couldn't jump up and say, I would really like to learn, because she was caring for her mother who was dying of cancer and for a niece whose mother had died. So her whole life was a caregiver. And now that kind of time of that kuleana in her life had passed. But she would always come down to the beach on Sunday afternoon, just to kind of regroup. And now she was at the beach, and at Easter Sunday morning, and Eileen, who's our announcer, said, hey, anybody wants to learn to tandem, Bear's going to teach someone. And she jumped up and she said, pick me. And you know, of course, you know that we don't choose Jesus. Jesus has chosen us. And I said, I'll pick you. And so I taught her how to tandem. And that day she went out with someone who had told me he was a tandem surfer, but he really shouldn't have been tandem surfing. And I saw them go out, and he fell. And then, but she really wanted to learn. So I was there filming my TV show. So every once or twice a week, I would meet with them and teach them how to tandem. He kept dropping her, falling on her. You know, the tandem man's number one job is to protect the woman. And he didn't protect her. So finally he said, dude, you can't surf with her anymore. You're hurting her. And I could see that she was brokenhearted, but I saw how valiant she was, how much she tried to help him in this effort, never letting him see her disappointed. And so they went out, he dropped her, he fell on her on top of the board, and she came out of the water, and I could see she was crying even though she was covered with salt water. And I just went like this. And she came to me, and I grabbed my board, and we paddled out, and we did three waves, did three overhead lifts, and then we started that slow dance, and we fell in love. It's a lot like Jesus. You know, one of my jobs as the tandem man, I'm the captain of that boat. I'm going to be the one who's connected to the board when I lift her, so I choose the wave, and I do the surfing. But when we first met, she said, Bear, did you have back surgery? And I said, no. And she asked me again a couple weeks later, you didn't have any back surgery? And I said, no. Well, then why do you have those stripes, those scars on your back? Oh, that's when there's going to be a wipeout, and I flip the girl down, I hold her up high, and I jump off the back of the board, and my ankle is leashed to my big tandem board, so it'll drag me across the reef. So I'm the one who pays that price. And sometimes when you're surfing, you know, there's these things called snakes, like when Satan snaked Adam and Eve, snaked God in the garden, you know, which is trying to say, it's not your wave, it's my wave. I want to be God and not you. Sometimes people will drop in on you like that, and they'll jump off, and I protect her. And it's by my stripes, you know, Jesus said that you are healed. And so there's that nuptial union with God. You know, I can't lift my wife unless she leaps. I signal for her to her, and then she leaps, and I can lift her. So we have to take that moment of having that leap of faith with God. But then when we surf like that, we're one with our surfboard, one with the wave, one with each other, nuptial union. And then afterwards, we always just paddle someplace where the water's deep and just look at each other across the board and smile at each other. You know, one day someone said to me, hey, you like go jump in the surf contest out of a helicopter? And I said, yeah, I've always wanted to do that. I don't know why he would ask me. So we went and we got in the helicopter, and Cindy and I took that leap and we jumped out of that helicopter into the surf contest. And that's what God wants for you, from you. He wants you to leap. My personal creed is that the most radical quest you can have in life is to abandon yourself to the wild adventure of God's will. And it's wild and it's an adventure. So why not? I want to invite you to take that leap of faith and go on this spiritual safari, go deeper with God. And as we like to say, may the breath of the Holy Spirit aloha you. Aloha.